Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Extracts on the Life of Christ, October 10, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in CTR 93. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3, verse 15. This prophecy refers to the warfare maintained between Christ and Satan. At the time it was uttered, no human foresight could have seen the manner of its fulfillment, but it has been clearly fulfilled. It has its fulfillment in every conflict between good and evil. Enmity exists between Christ and his followers, and Satan and his followers. The great controversy between the Prince of Life and the Prince of Darkness has been going forward, strengthening with each successive generation. Severe indeed has been the conflict waged between right and wrong, between truth and error, between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Truth has fought against error, and error against truth. The conflict has existed for thousands of years, developed from age to age, and has increased in intensity through every generation. The truth as it is in Jesus will gain the victory that the prophecy assures to it. But to all human appearance, error will overwhelm truth. The larger number of the human race will be swept into idolatry, and will lift up that which Christ has not lifted up, and strive to tear down God's great standard of righteousness. Evil man and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All except a few will bow to the powers of idolatry. Falsehood will appear to triumph over truth, and in this way an end will be put to all strife. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Satan is referred to as the originator of sin. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 8. Satan's first manifest defeat was his failure to overcome Christ in the wilderness of temptation. Here the Prince of Life gained a victory in behalf of the human race, and all heaven rejoiced at the defeat of the enemy. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49, verse 10. This prophecy was uttered by the dying Jacob and addressed to his sons. But it bore with weight upon future generations. It was fulfilled only when Christ came. He is the apostle and high priest of our profession. The scepter is a rod carried in the hands of chiefs and rulers as a badge of authority. Carried by the head of each tribe, it was a proof of separate governmental authority. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The ensign of his tribeship shall remain. Judah shall not cease to be a distinct tribe until Shiloh come. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet, verse 10. He shall be governed by a ruler from among his own offspring till Shiloh come. And the tribe of Judah did maintain its supremacy through all its adversities till Christ's first advent. It remained a distinct tribe till Shiloh came. Nearly 1,700 years before the death of Christ, the dying Jacob uttered this prophecy. Christ himself threw back the veil, that with prophetic eye, Jacob could trace the history of his descendants. Signalized before him was Judah, bearing the scepter. He saw a wonderful counselor arise in the midst of this tribe. It was the promised seed, Shiloh, the sent of God, who was to set up a spiritual kingdom. Jacob saw the time when the scepter would no longer be in the hands of Judah. The nations would be gathered under the banner of Christ. When the Jews appeared before Pilate to secure Christ, they said, "We have no king but Caesar." John 19, verse 15. By this, they confessed that the scepter had indeed departed from Judah.